There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Yeah, because we get the Statue of Liberty to, I don't know, what's another...
What do you want the Statue of Liberty to do, Henry?
The TikTok dance?
You want
TikTok dancing's not dancing, I'll say that.
What mid-rant have we just entered in?
You started me going about...
I'm talking about the Gundam robot that you're in love with, the Japanese 60-foot robot who is now taking knees, doing T-bowing, and to destroy our entire civilization, and you're so proud of it.
I tell you what, Gundam took a knee... And this was about a political movement.
Gundam
to
is
fix
a robot.
The police. No, this
Gundam's
is huge.
A robot.
Robots' lives matters.
And no robot. Okay, first of all, that's extremely controversial, and we're gonna backpedal that.
I'm saying
I am going to say this: the Gundam robot works for the police. You think that the citizens of this world,
these are citizen scientists,
are the ones who are going to be in control of this Gundam robot?
The scientists are being
in
control of the Gundam robot. Which
who are funded by whom?
I don't know this level of science. This might be private science. Honestly, there might be some Epstein money in there. So
yes.
that's where it starts to become a little bit
more
problematic.
That's probably how you turn it on. You have to show it a picture of a young person, and then it's like, Gundam activated.
But
I was
saying,
like this robot
beforehand is that there used to be a whole era of physical memes that people used to do, like things too, like the old South Park episode. It's the only episode I see on reruns at all times where they do they made fun of the planking and the T-bowing.
Got you.
Having the Gundam do the T-bow is really important for science. It's like once we get the Statue of Liberty to dab, science has won.
I believe that we have all lost. If this is science winning, let's shut down our education systems now.
Nobody wants healthcare. We've already decided that. Nobody likes it. They don't want it. They want a 60-foot robot to come to your home, scoop up. How lucky would you be?
You're not lucky.
You've got maybe a young man, you know, like viciously dying of cancer, about to lose his life way before he's supposed to, right?
Great. Sad,
yes. You've got no way to fix it. Any sort of way that you would take $300K out of your wallet just to keep him alive for a couple extra years.
Sure.
But wouldn't a smile be put on your face if a 60-foot robot shows up at your home and just scoops him up
bust
into one giant hand, and then he gets to go live a sci-fi life for the last 15 minutes of it?
So basically your entire use of the Gundam is to discard of people who are in late-stage forms of cancer. That's what you want to use a Gundam for.
You say
if you want to clarify it like that.
I say cup in the robot, hands like a chick that has recently been hatched.
All right.
This is a lot.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben with Henry. I'm happy we got the Gundam debate out of the way because I have been upset about this for a long time, and I am upset with you, Henry.
I have had nothing to do with it.
But your approval of it drives me insane, but we do not have to talk about that.
Hope needs to be seeded from science, the way an actor will seed several children into a whole cast of women. But this, I'm just so glad that we started happy. First of all, the hits just keep on coming. 2020 has been the year of horrible surprises. Marcus Parks is in the middle of a family emergency right now, and so he actually had to very quickly go to Texas.
Yep.
So this means that we are not going to be able to do our regularly scheduled Last Podcast on the Left episode this week. We are going to be doing an episode that is just going to be Kissel and I. Just send good vibes to Marcus and his family. It is an incredibly difficult time, and it just keeps getting easier.
If you have any connection with the moon, now is the time to call up the moon. Be like, yo, shoot some good beams down over there to Texas. But this week's Last Podcast on the Left, we will be doing some listener pasta. So shoot us an email at sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We already have a bunch, so thank you all so much who have been early in sending those stories, because they are ooky,
thank God
spooky.
You did, because
thank
if
God
not, we would not be able to do an extra episode this week. But
I feel
it's
great that we have our audience trained to just like work hard,
like us,
because you never know when that's going to matter.
You never know
never
when
know.
You, the audience, is going to come in clutch versus us, who are, I'm going to say, 50%.
Hey,
at best.
Baby, 50% clutch? That's actually incredible.
Right? Especially.
That's better than Kobe.
Every
better
day,
than Jordan.
Every day is the playoffs here in the world of radio.
Do you want to start with this dismembered body part story by any chance?
Of course I do.
All right.
Take a look at this story. This comes from the Chicago CBS local news. Dismembered body parts found in suitcases that Markham police say man hauled all the way from Kentucky.
So now this is what's so unbelievable. Eight heads in a duffel bag. Funny movie.
Love that film.
But to actually think about having to drag body parts in a suitcase, that sucks. You know, we were traveling.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of stuff. Yeah.
We know the suitcase life.
Oh, absolutely. And I travel with a beautiful, sexy wife that also travels.
In the suitcase?
Not inside of the suitcase,
right.
But you'd think that she did. Simply because she has a lot of shoes.
Right.
So I know what it's like to travel with just one bag that feels as if it could contain a bouncer.
I agree with that. So in a gruesome and horrific discovery, body parts were found inside of a suitcase. This is in the South Suburban Markham, which I think it's good that this happened in the suburbs because you got to shake those people out of their young Sheldon.
That's what I love about a blue velvet. That's why I always think about this. Whenever we go through a small town, especially when we're traveling, some kind of like nice little place where you see all the country cabin looks.
Beautiful.
And you see the really nice, like, you know, a neighborhood's nice when it doesn't have sidewalk because they don't want anybody to have a place to stay in any way, shape or form. But you walk through these neighborhoods at night because that's what I used to do. The last time
really?
We were in Portland, I did the Arthur Shawcross where I just walked in a straight line because a lot of backyards don't have fences in there. So I was just like walking through people's backyards. I walked from the city downtown straight up into the suburbs and it was great. I learned a lot about Portland.
Oh, what did you learn about Portland?
There's a whole lot of road.
Isn't that
but
something?
I learned that it's important. Every time I look around at these idyllic little towns, I just think, man, this place is just fucking ripe for a serial killer.
It is possible that we have a serial killer here. So how did this person get these body parts to the suburbs from Kentucky? No other way of transportation than the good old Greyhound bus.
Because
never talk to anyone on a Greyhound. Or do you? Do you talk to them or do
never,
you not? Never. Okay.
Never. Never engage on a Greyhound. Like I used to learn this the hard way. You have to act sick. If you're on a Greyhound, act like you're about to throw up so that people don't talk to you. But also, the wonder of a Greyhound, I use that term loosely, but the wonder of a Greyhound is one of the last anonymous ways to travel.
At any point in the Greyhound world, in the history of Greyhound, has anyone asked, what's in the bag?
Why would you?
Because
we're never
at some
ask.
Point,
I don't want to know
person,
anybody's
imagine.
Business. On the bus, as far as I'm concerned, we are all here. We are all, I imagine, just as diplomatic non-actors.
I can't imagine that this person was dressed well. Whoever got on the Greyhound with these bags full of human body parts.
Okay.
So if it doesn't look like you have any other clothes other than the ones you're wearing, what's in the bag? I'm just asking Greyhound to ask one question. Also, Mandalay Bay employees. What's in the bags?
What's
a bunch
in the
of
bags?
Guns?
Yeah,
a bunch
yeah,
of guns?
Yeah. Let's take a little peekaboo at the bags. But now they have the thing in Vegas and in Atlantic City where they can just enter your room without any notice, specifically because of the Vegas show.
I know what happens.
All right, this story. This was hauled away from. Now, this man, the man who had the bag of body parts said, I don't know how it got in there. That's his response. Police said the man's family suspected something was strange about the suitcases, but no one expected the body parts that ended up being discovered them. Of course, because if not, you'd be implicated in a crime.
You know, one person was thinking it, though, and they're like, I should have said something.
I think that bag's giving me the middle finger.
It must smell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Markham police spent much of the day Tuesday outside of a house at 164th and Wood Streets. Neighbor David Scott did not think much that the police officers were there across the street at first. So, like, I went to the store. By the time I went to the neighborhood store and came back, that's when I saw the yellow tape from the crime scene. Markham told police that the homeowner's son recently came to visit from Kentucky.
Okay.
He brought with him luggage. 2-3 bags, said Marcus Police Chief Terry White. Inside the heavy luggage was a dismembered body parts of a woman.
Oh, my God.
Police said that the man boarded a Greyhound bus in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville. Traveling more than 5 hours with the body parts to the Chicago Greyhound station at 630 West Harrison Street. His family picked him up and brought him and those bags to the house in Markham.
No one has mentioned odor up to this point. These Greyhound, it seems like he just brought these on board with him.
Yep.
So this was not in the bottom of the Greyhound with all the other stinky fruits.
Do you think he maybe got away with it by you know how in the airport they say, like, don't let anybody handle your bags before you handle your
bags? Sure, which had never has happened in the history of the airport, but they did make a big deal of it.
I wish I had a backpacker. That'd be incredible.
That'd be great.
But I wish I had a man dresser.
Sure.
And I wish I had a lady fluffer.
Indeed.
But this is... here we go. We're getting to
really,
it.
You are on to something today.
Every day. It's because this is my fourth cup of coffee. Spring Hill Jack. Woo!
Think that's a great advertisement for them.
Chief White insisted that the family did not realize what was in the bags, but after a few days, it became odd when the man never unpacked and kept closely guarding the suitcases. And he said right here, there were some early reports of a foul odor coming from the bags.
I would freaking think so.
I thought it would be like George Murison's shoe collection or something.
It is a good sports reference. Thank you for doing that. That was a great attempt at being relevant. If I am the parents of this person, they're also victims here, aren't they? Because I have a feeling that their son, I'm assuming this is their son.
Oh, yeah. He's stinky. He might start as a stinky guy.
He might start as a stinky guy, but then at some point you just got to realize that he definitely carried across multiple state lines a series of bags full of human bodies.
It takes a lot of attention to detail to do this because honestly, I'd spend a long time packing because let's say, you know,
I'm
going for 7 days.
You killed me. You killed me finally in a fit of rage. It finally happened. You dabbled in cocaine for the first time because you don't do cocaine. I'm all cut up. How you packing?
I've already done this. Okay. All right. Number one, where am I traveling to and for what reason? Let's say
I am dead and I'm a body and you care about where you're going?
I had a trip I have to go with. Oh, I already had a trip booked. Uh-huh. I have your dismembered body parts. I am going to let's just say, hot air balloon convention in Topeka, Kansas. I am taking a bus there because if not, these balloons ain't taking off unless the balloon commandeer, Henry Zebrowski, is arriving on time for the competition.
Okay.
I got all of your body. So we've got 7 days of hot air balloons. I'm going to need shoes that I can travel in. I'm going to need my nice J's for if we go out at night. I'm going to need at least some day jeans. I need some night jeans. I need a couple of nice shirts. I'm going to need a long sleeve shirt. I don't know if the temperature is going
to
vary.
Well, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
this
is how I travel.
My whole body as well.
This is what I'm saying. Okay. And so what I have to do is slice you into as many smallest parts of chunks as I can.
But Henry, it'll still all be me. It doesn't matter how you slice me.
That's true, but it's about how I jam you inside of the bags. Because then it's about, like, I probably will put your feet into one of the shoes. I would put your body inside of one of the shirts.
You would have to really shove my feet in there. You'd have to maybe cut off some toes.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that
you
does
are
make sense.
But I don't know. I feel like in the end it would take, you're bringing additional bags. I bet you they were surprised that he had so many bags.
I am sure that they were. Certainly David Scott, this man's neighbor, was surprised. Again, he said after he saw all the yellow tape, he said, oh, I knew something bad had happened. And this is why I love local news, because they only get the best of the best of the best people to comment. Scott says, you only see stuff like this on TV. You don't see stuff like this from across the street, neighbor.
That's true.
You do sometimes.
Sometimes you do. And then apparently the story was, The son, I'm again assuming the son, they have not said this in the article. We don't know what the relationship, but we're assuming the son of the family.
Yeah,
he left the house.
That's immediately you call the police.
Well, you know who I could also possibly blame is a cousin. Sometimes a cousin.
In a close-knit family?
You don't know.
Treated like a son.
You don't know, but sometimes one of them, what they call a kissing cousin, is that if you're one of these kissing cousins that's close to one of the main children, I'm going to say the A-team children, and now you got some second cousin who maybe you don't see all the time.
Sure.
Who doesn't even look like you, doesn't even have the same last name as you.
Right.
They're always sus, right? He shows up, he left the house, and this is what also to me is a red flag. He left on his vacation to go to a public library. And then he left the suitcases behind. I've never been to a public library on vacation. I don't know.
Libraries are no longer where you go to learn. You go to sleep. You go to rest.
You go to shit. You go to jerk off.
Yeah.
But we have a librarian listeners, and we want to say I will defend your libraries with my life if I have to. I will come out there with what I have to do.
Absolutely.
And I will stop people from shitting inside the books.
Absolutely. You can carve out the books, put little knives in there
if you want to.
Yeah,
always
just in
prepared.
Case.
Always prepared.
In case the gunham comes.
I'll carve out one of the bad books.
Yeah.
Right, but he went to the public library on his vacation, and they finally were like, Why don't we check the bags?
Is it safe to call this a vacation for this man?
I mean, I feel like
like a lot of work.
I think he needs a vacation from his vacation. But they don't know. So on Tuesday night, investigators from Markham, the FBI in Louisville, were all looking for the case. Not been charged with the crime
yet. He is yet to be charged with the
crime. He's remained in custody, and they think that they're pretty certain that the body could be linked to a woman reported missing from Louisville last week.
I pray to God that it's that body, not because I would like to. I mean, obviously, it's very sad, but I just hope there's not multiple women where it's like, that could be the one. Hey, maybe it's not the one. How many people are going missing in Louisville? Someone's got to get on it.
Well, especially if you open that bag and you got 3 feet.
It is interesting that the man has not been charged with any crime. Even the transportation of a body, the dismemberment of a corpse.
Like proper deli mismanagement? Can't we just say this is actually the FDA has to come in here and charge you with improperly handling meat?
Yucky cousin. Is that illegal? I don't know.
I don't know. I actually feel like up to this point, yucky cousin was just a problem to be dealt with locally within the family, and now yucky cousin has become a national crime.
Once you get into Greyhound, that's all of our problem now, isn't it?
Yep. And now this is because we have some updates from this week. Last week, we were talking about these mystery seeds from China.
China.
Where they're saying that many listeners said that the mystery seeds are part of what they're saying is it's called a brushing scam, where it's an Amazon fake review scam where they send these things out and they ask you to rate them. I don't know how it quite works.
Rate the seeds? Essentially, how boring is my life when you're like, oh, you want me to rate these seeds? I don't know.
These time periods?
Nice, flat.
I relaced all my J's last night as a way to fucking subside some of my fucking tension.
Yeah, but shoes are large. You can collect them. They're not seeds. I mean, I know you can collect seeds.
Yeah.
To be a seed raider is the saddest job I've ever heard in my life.
I feel like it's more of a hobby.
Okay.
But yes, they do believe that this is some form of information like targeting bullshit, and that if you actually receive one of these packages of seeds, you might want to look into trying to secure your personal information a little bit better.
Oh, okay. So that could be the planting of a seed into identity theft.
Yes, okay. Yes. And another update is that apparently when I was asking about how fast it would take for you to saw off your hand using an electric saw, apparently it's a couple seconds so fast you wouldn't even fucking notice you lost your hand.
I would notice.
I mean, you would.
I would notice immediately.
But it would be like, whip, it goes zip.
But doesn't time stand still? I was watching the Hell in a Cell documentary, as I watch on a regular basis, with The Undertaker when he threw Mick Foley off the top of the cell.
Simpler times.
And he said that it seemed as if it lasted an eternity, the fall of Mr. Foley.
But that was also
only lasted about, you know, less than a second.
But he was on camera, and it was a big deal for him in his career.
I just feel like time changes when you're sawing off your hand to the point where you would maybe look down and be like, wow, it's really happening. And I think that your body would digest the information slower.
That's not the problem. It's more of the fact that I asked the question of how long could it possibly take.
Right.
And they're saying it actually could happen very, very fast. They say that wood is much harder than any part of our body or bones. And then we actually got a picture of a sawed off thumb.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for that. Again, the wood is harder than the human bone. I'm not sure about that. I guess it depends on the thickness of the wood.
Look at this. This is
You're
wood.
Just hitting a table.
This is wood.
You're
this
just
is
hitting
science.
A table.
This is great for sound.
You're doing science?
I don't know if it radio? Does it. Feel my bone. Ow, your grip. Ow, your hands are so powerful.
All right, this isn't a dating profile.
Maybe according to some of our emails, we've got a couple people sending you dating, saying, hey, date me, Kitzel. And it's actually, it's interesting.
All right, everyone is very, everyone is lonely out there.
People are.
In the midst of this quarantine.
Here's another story from the Toronto Sun. That's a brain.
Good
man makes
Lord.
Mindful discovery on beach. Don't be funny now.
Enough with the puns.
Don't be funny now. This comes from the Toronto Sun. Now, this is from Wisconsin. While walking along the sandy shore of Samuel Myers Park Beach in Racine, Wisconsin.
Ooh, Racine, right outside of Milwaukee.
Jimmy Senda stumbled upon a strange package wrapped in aluminum foil and a rubber band. Upon closer inspection, what Senda found was mind-blowing.
It didn't register as a human brain. I was just like, what is this? Sander told news outlet Fox 6 Now. Upon unraveling the round package, Sander thought its contents looked like a chicken breast. It took him a few moments to register that what he was holding appeared to be a brain along with some flowers and Chinese currency. Okay. Befuddled, Sender said he would ask some city workers nearby for a second opinion on his discovery. So he just walked up to a couple of guys working on the line. And he said, hey, tell me there, brother, does this look like a brain to you? And they said to me, and this is a quote, they're like, yeah, that's a brain.
That is a brain. And I do think when you find a brain, action is called for. Another person wrote, nasty shit. I would have freaked out if I found this. Probably would have gotten sick, too. Why are people reacting like this when obviously someone has lost their brain?
Well, they're
I feel
saying
like there
is,
must be a murder involved here or perhaps a death. I don't know if the reactions really are. I don't feel like the reactions are appropriate for finding a brain, such as, again, nasty shit. I would have freaked out if I would have found it.
Yeah.
Probably would have gotten sick, too.
What I like is this response. That is definitely a brain. Could be some type of gang ritual.
A gang ritual.
You know how gangs always very delicately remove the brain in order to, because you know how many gangs, and I've heard this about MS-13.
Oh, yes.
Is it MS-13?
Sure. M-13? MS-13, that's one of them.
The
yeah.
Santeria. These people that perform the Santeria, they also have been having body switching experiments. And I don't mean to alarm people. But sometimes you don't even know if your loved one is not, in fact, one of the recruiters for MS-13, and their brains has, in fact, been switched.
You think
to
this
a
is
gang
funny.
Banger?
You think this is funny, but you wait until that's national concern 2024.
I can't wait.
You wait until your son has been transformed into a gang banger right in front of your eyes before you don't even notice.
But straight up, as you can see, if you do look at the brain, authorities told Fox 6 Now that it does. They know. No one believes that the brain is human.
Oh, this is not a human brain.
No, it's a tiny brain. It's a little pig brain.
It's a pig brain. So somewhere a piggy is out there without a brain.
Yep.
And we need to find that piggy and put the brain back in.
I mean, I guess maybe he's a part of the current president's administration.
Wow. Holy. I would pick it up, but it's such a hot take. Well, speaking of hot takes. So anyway, it's a good thing it's not a human brain. Definitely.
It is a good thing that it's not a human brain.
I think it's great.
But I've eaten goat brain and lamb brain. So I imagine, honestly, if this is fresh enough,
no,
toss it on the broiler.
It's not fresh enough.
Have you ever...
It's got a bunch of freaking Chinese money on top of it and a bunch of flowers. It is... Money is the dirtiest thing that you can possibly touch.
But not
no,
if you
do
cook
not
it.
Eat the brain.
But I'm just saying, if it's fresh, if it's cool to the touch, you can put it on, I would say, almost like a cast iron skillet,
you
get it
so
nice and
gross.
Hot, and then you get a nice brown butter, so you slowly baste it with a brown butter, so eventually the fat in the brain becomes rendered.
You're not supposed to eat those parts of the body, by the way. Very dangerous.
What are you talking about?
You're not supposed to eat any of the brains.
Yeah, you can.
No, you're not supposed to eat organs.
I've eaten plenty of brains.
Look at you.
I mean, I am
listen to
healthy.
You right now.
I am...
You're ranting like a madman.
I am reasonably sound. Ranting like a madman is my job. This is my character. This is who I am.
No, this is not your character, by the way.
No,
there
I'm
is
always
no-
playing a character. There's always a thin veneer. You know, the real me is I have my night glasses. I sit. I put on my foot cream. I put in my knee cream. I put in my ball cream. I put in my nipple cream. Make sure that they're all just as soft. Because I hate one part being crusty.
Hey, I'm with you on that. Well, speaking of just disgusting things found in nature, poopy, huh, Duke? Human Duke, feces.
You're an asshole.
This is honestly, it's just a weird episode. There's just so many body parts. And
there's a lot of this.
So this is in Oklahoma.
But this is fairly like an innocent story.
This isn't, well, I mean, we'll get into it. In Oklahoma, gal, she was just driving down the highway doing what she does. Maybe she had a little bit of crystal methamphetamine.
Well, okay? She was driving without you busted the secret.
Yeah.
Because that's the secret.
No, the secret is what the meth was going to do to her.
Well, she got pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt.
Emily, which, again, you know, come on.
I think people should wear their seatbelt. I'm going to just say that.
Wear
I'm going to throw
seatbelt.
That fucking
yes.
out there. And I understand why it needs to be a crime because people are, the term is a thanatos.
There's
the
no
Freudian impulse to destroy ourselves is called the thanatos principle.
You tell me somebody on crystal meth has ever died in a car accident.
Honestly,
sadly, they live.
I do believe that they could just kind of squirm out.
Emily Sint Owens, she was pulled over around 9 o'clock in the morning. The cop noticed that she was not wearing a seatbelt, so they, you know, obviously not a lot going on in the town of Enid, so the cop was like, I better do my job.
Go get her.
Front lines of the war on not wearing seatbelts. She didn't have any insurance, so that was a big deal. But she did have a medical marijuana card. That was her only form of identification, which is good.
It's so funny because it's just the exact thing that they, I mean, it makes me kind of mad also at the same time because it's so stereotypical to say to a pothead, like, all right, license and registration, and be going like, oh man, I fucking spaced, man. I was on my way to the fucking tube store, man.
And but they just.
Yeah, if you go, because they put your picture on it.
Absolutely, and it's totally valid. Nothing wrong with that. She didn't have any insurance, but she did have her medical marijuana card. The officer ran her information, and turned out the driver's license was revoked. So this woman, not having a great day,
nope.
9 o'clock in the morning, if you are driving without insurance, if you don't have a license, buckle up.
Buckle up.
Don't give them a reason to pull you over.
That's the truth. You need to use your turn signals. I mean, honestly, I'd rather have more people not have the licenses if you would be using the turn signals.
Wow, you are becoming your mother. So he informs me. The officer was like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to check this shit out. Oh, my goodness. He comes back, and the officer tells her, like, yay, things aren't looking great. And then she says, oh, but officer,
I have to poop.
Get me going.
She starts screaming about, I gotta poop so bad. And the officer's like, unfortunately, we're holding you here. We're running you for warrants. We're gonna try to see what you did. Turns out she did have a warrant.
She had a dalliance with the law in her past, yes. But I don't know if this is true. I think this may have been the crystal meth talking.
It might have been.
Owens can also be heard as saying, it's my birthday. It's my fucking birthday. And I do believe if it is your birthday, you get one.
out of free. Okay, so I'm going to save my
free,
murder.
Out of free, free jail.
I'm with you. That's when I save my murder. I say you save one. Everybody gets one murder.
No,
I believe
you can
be
arrested the next day.
George Carlin, I believe, had a whole bit about this, about how you should be allowed one murder.
George Carlin's towards the end of his career. I remember watching him live, and he just did the whole suicide pyramid bit, which is about 35 minutes. And we saw him at the Pabst Theater, where we actually had the unbelievable luxury, or not luxury, what do you call it?
Privilege.
That? Privilege of performing, which was unbelievable. Thanks to everyone who came out in Milwaukee.
That was one of the best shows that we've ever done, was at the Pabst Theater.
35 minutes of the murder pyramid. Suicide pyramid. Nobody liked it. George Carlin did not get one laugh in Milwaukee. It was a little too dark for them, but I was cackling.
I saw the same tour at Ruth Eckerd Hall in Tampa. That was a great tour.
So Owens, she's being arrested. She says, it's my fucking birthday. I have to poop, which is hell. Like, she's just going into excuse mode.
Straight through. Honestly, says, though, I feel like if there's a way to get out of a ticket, that's what you do. You say, I got a fucking shit.
It could work if it was just the seatbelt ticket. Mm. But I think it was more of the driving without a license. Mm. So she says, why won't you just let me go? And the officer says, because your license is suspended. Owens apologized again and reiterated that she, quote, didn't know, otherwise I won't drive no more.
Well, that's what she said.
Yep.
And then the officer said, you have warrants in Woods County and they're going to come get you. And she said, no, they are not. Fuck you guys.
You have warrants for Woods County and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
Man.
Then leads them on a high-speed pursuit for several blocks, going 70 miles per hour. She just blew through a bunch of stop signs, and then finally she was just like, okay, I gotta go. They pull her out of the car. She's like, can I poop in your car, man? And the officer says, you could have already been on your way to jail. Yeah, but not pooping is what she said. And then they discovered a pipe with meth in the car. But she it could have been planted. But I do feel.
I don't think they planted the meth. I mean, it's definitely not outside of the realm of possibility. But in
but
this
she already
case,
committed several crimes.
Yes, absolutely. So she just wanted to really take a dump and. Obviously, the nice thing about prison is you are constantly in a bathroom. Technically, that's where you sleep. It's where you eat. The whole thing is just a bathroom, so she will have plenty of space to poop in the Garfield County Detention Center on charges including reckless driving, driving under suspension, and possession of drug paraphernalia. So a rough day. No word if it really was her birthday. And if she did lie about that, that's one of the biggest lies you can make because people, they take it very seriously. You want a free drink and you're going to tell me it's your birthday. But if I find out it's not your birthday, same thing when you were a kid and be like, grandma died, couldn't do the homework. How many grandmas do you have? This is your eighth grandma's death. This is the eighth grandma that has died this year.
But I tell you what, John.
So no, you cannot lie about certain things. And one of the biggest things is it's your birthday.
I feel that this is where we might have a little bit of a standstill and a standoff almost, because I do believe that bluffing is important in society.
Birthdays are a sacred day for many.
But if you can correctly bluff that it's your birthday and you go into a restaurant and you get one of those
you
free
cakes.
You
just have to say, it's my birthday.
Yeah. And it's fun. But they can tell when you're lying. They can tell if they think you're lying. So I think that it's actually an important play if you can go in with the right amount of souciance and the right amount of confidence and say to the waiter and pull them aside and go, hey, it's actually my wife's birthday. And then you get the free cake.
You need to see some ID on that.
I would be like, you don't trust me?
No, I don't think I could. I don't think
it's because you know me.
Yeah.
But other people don't know me. And other people assume they kind of view me as like a fun, nice guy.
Right, right, right.
But they don't know that I will do
you're stealing birthday cakes?
Literally anything to get a free slice of cake.
Well, I do know that that is true.
I will fucking, I'll suck dick. I'll eat shit.
I can
I'll
get you
bathe
cake.
My fucking tits
so cheap.
And cum.
It's actually really cheap. You can get like a 99-cent buck cake from any place. 7-Eleven, they can get a cake. I can get you a series of cakes. People, most
all
people
free.
In prison
all of this
eat
is not
just
free.
Cake.
None of this is free. And I don't think that they eat cake in prison.
Yeah, they do. They
unless
eat zingers. They make their own. You've seen what they make.
Commissary.
For yeah, the commissary cakes.
I've never seen a commissary cake.
Oh
I've seen the commissary
God,
burrito. I've seen the commissary pizza.
They mix together. This is only for birthdays. And they know that it's a person's birthday because of their birthday right there on their little badge.
That's so special.
Isn't that nice? So it's Snickers bars, little zingers, honey buns, anything, M&Ms. You mash it all together because it's really just sugar and isn't cooking nothing more than science. And you mash it all together. And you put it into a little cake-like form. Maybe you put it in the hot shower to kind of steam it.
I'm
going to
do my best. I'm going to do my best to not spend a birthday in prison.
Well, you know what, buddy? No one is there on purpose.
Except I already kind of did it. It's called having a birthday in quarantine. Am I right?
Whoa. Hello,
come
Ellen.
On, y'all.
Let's go to Detroit.
I love Detroit.
You talk about your life. Why would you go to prison? I could see you being this guy. The way that you drive, I'm so happy that I have a car now so that when we do hit the road, I can take the wheel every now and again and just drive 72 in a 65
I get
or
us,
78 in a 70.
I get us
dangerously
there
into accidents.
On time. I've never gotten us into an accident.
I have woken up in the back to, I felt like I was going to be the bassist in Metallica who died, Cliff.
But that
you were
going to
treat me like Cliff Burton.
On some level, wasn't it Cliff's time?
No,
and
it was not.
And if you were also going to die, if you were going to shoot out of a bus window because of some accident, I feel like in the end, that's you just fucking being a javelin for God.
Well, this guy was a javelin for fun in Detroit. He's a motorist. And Henry, I mean...
This guy had it fucking right.
You
this
know how
guy,
aggravating. I actually hate the drawbridge. I hate the drawbridge design. Because
it's cool. I think it's fun. I think it's
until
fun.
Until you're behind it.
Yes, but I do. I love a drawbridge, but this guy saw it. A foolhardy motorist in Detroit is in hot water with the law after he channeled his inner action hero and jumped over a drawbridge in his car. I love the spirit of this guy.
I do.
He saw it going up, and for some reason, he just said, fuck this.
Fuck it.
And he
put on his glasses, popped on some rock and roll.
Well, it sounded like he did a couple of whippets. That's what they're trying to blame it. They're trying to blame it on whippets, which I think is really funny.
Okay, hold on. Speaking of cake, the whippets, like the cake, like the fluffer, it lasts 10 seconds.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you can even blame something on whippets. By the time you get to the test, it's got to be over. But they're all saying it was on whippets. Drawbridge operator Andre Locke, he was watching this whole thing unfold, and he recalled...
Hell of a day for a drawbridge operator, by the way.
Because, again, every day is the same shit.
Every day, up and down, and
every
boat
day.
And car. Oh, God.
And then you looked, and he said, I looked. And I said, no, he ain't.
No, he ain't.
His disbelief quickly given away to the realization the man was indeed trying to jump the bridge. The worker hit the emergency stop button, but it was too late. This dude fucking hit the gap. Like, you could see everyone watching him in slow motion as the fucking
God.
Car crests over the gap. And
it's
then,
horrifying.
Boom!
But he did it.
He made it. He got to the other side of the drawbridge, popped all of his fucking tires, and was just stuck on the emergency gate above it, because then you could see the realization of the first, as you take off the lip from the one edge of the drawbridge, you're just like, yeah, mama.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, see it.
If they could see me now, yeah.
See it. They all said I'd never be a bird. And then boom. And then you just sitting there going, oh, my shit. And then the Whippets headache just comes rolling in.
That's why I stopped doing the Whippets. I couldn't do the headache afterwards. Like, why am I doing this?
And he's just sitting there because you know the feeling of like you can feel your eyebrows like pulsing from the headache. And you're just like, oh, man, I should have fucking... I should have had a V8.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it to feel like human frosting for 10 seconds? No. The drawbridge operator said, quote, that's a first for me. And if I'm that drawbridge operator, I go up to that car and I say, thank you. Thank you for making my day just a little bit brighter.
It didn't, though, because then I imagine the sheer shit fuck of trying to get him off the top of the drawbridge. Because that was like father
worked in. He made it all the way over, didn't he?
You know, but then he was stuck on the guardrail on the other side. So the thing can't properly close.
Right.
You have to get a fucking crane to come help him get out of the thing. Like, this is this is the weird shit that my father had to deal with as a cop. Because, like, my father worked in deadly accidents, and he worked on the bridges and tunnels. And that's his job, was that every single time something
tunnels,
like that happened like this, he would have to go, you'd have to shut down the entire bridge. And so that was, like, the main thing that he had to deal with.
Yeah.
Your day is then just... awful.
Yeah, but if you have a drawbridge operator.
Got a whole line of cars just going, honk, 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 honk. People going like, come on, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go to child court.
Well, you know, the best thing is, first of all, you do have to make it to child court. The best thing is when you all, as a collective 100 cars, all have to back up, when one person has to be like, we're backing up.
Backing up.
And then everyone's like, oh, we're backing up. Everyone has
asshole.
To go through backing up. And then there's always a new car coming in.
Do you remember when we almost missed that
Not
show?
Not to be old man corner.
But this is, I mean, it's interesting in its own way. It's not. But remember when we were stuck at the border coming from Vancouver, trying to get into, was it Seattle? I believe we were coming over the border.
That Canadian border was what seemed to be extremely intense, right? It must have been very scrutinized what was going on with the border, but they had just shut down most of the lanes.
We were stuck there for
4 hours,
like
4 hours,
4 hours, 4 hours. And I just hate. It's the one thing is the guys, like, I get it, we're all pissed off. But the guys that get out of the car when you're all stuck in a line, going, the guy's going like, what are we going on here? Just like yelling at the administration of the universe.
Yeah,
just like yelling, literally old man yells at cloud. Or the guys that come in, like, that was also, because I also think it was specifically very Canadian, the people going from car to car, like knocking on another parked car's windows going like, hey, take a look at this. And it's like, just don't talk to me. I'm pissed. I'm with you. I'm pissed off. But this is not the time period to make new fucking side of the road friends.
In Canada, you're always making friends. That is, they're a friendly, friendly bunch until you do something just outside of their norm. Just to ever so outside. And then, of course, they'll turn on you and kill you. But I'm with you. We finally got up to the customs agent, and all they asked us was, are you humans? And we're like, we are. And then we had to tell them we're comedians.
And then
you just go.
Makes them, because it's either, it's
who
one
was
or
the
two.
Reference, by the way? This is a horrible conversation. Apologize to everyone. But who was the, we're like, yeah, we're comedians. We're just going to do another show. And then I believe the border agent referenced Styles.
Yes. Yeah, you're like Ryan Styles.
Ryan Styles.
And we're like, yes.
yes,
we are.
And actually, I like Ryan Styles.
But you know how many times I've had to deal with, especially going back and forth from Canada to the U.S., is like these Canadian Border Patrols guys being like, hey, you're a comedian, huh? Say something funny. Like, and because then you have the power to make me, and like, and I always have to do the, hi, you know, my dick's so small, they call me Mr. Tic Tac. Like, I just say
That's
something.
That's what you do?
I don't know what to do. And they're all
Mr.
like,
Mr. Tic Tac.
They're like, yeah, let me see it. And then all of a sudden, I'm in the extra security room, and the guy's been there being like,
I heard if I just blow across a comedian's asshole, makes a noise like a champagne flute.
Well, that's very possible.
I mean, like, oh, Mr. Border Agent, I gotta thank you for the extra time spent with
you. Well, you never want to tell a Border Agent your dick is the size of a Tic Tac because they got stinky breath and probably want to get a freshen up.
We got Border Agents listeners, maybe.
I love the Border Agents.
And we have to keep them happy.
I love the Border Agents. I love anyone who has power over me in very specific moments of life. I've always said that, and I will say that until I die. You mentioned Tic Tacs, though. Just lastly here, before we get to Hero of the Week, in New Jersey, people thought they saw a UFO, but it was a Goodyear blimp. So be careful out there.
I looked extensively into it because I saw the footage at first. Because I got many emails that said, like, take a look. It's coming. And I looked at the video, and at first, because, you know, I'm the same as you. I'm looking for a smile. And so when I saw the UFO, the first thing, my little nerd boner got big and my knees started jumping. And I sat there and I was like, oh, goody gumdrop. Finally, they've come. And then I looked at it and it's a blimp.
It is definitely a blimp.
And
of
nothing
course.
Is sadder than that feeling.
It was hovering over MetLife Stadium because we are in football season now. Of course, the New York Giants lost that game 26-16 over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah, and Hermine Ramirez-Steen did incredible because he was isn't his job, he's called like the holder.
There is a holder during a field goal, perhaps, yes. Oftentimes the backup quarterback.
Why don't they give that to like a kid with cancer one time?
Well, it's quite hard to do, and it matters.
It's just holding the ball up.
I don't think, so you want to punish a kid with cancer. It's still a very...
It's not punishment.
Very dangerous. I mean, if something goes awry, then they can get tackled.
No, they have to do their best to protect them. That'd be like a fun thing to give to somebody who gives to charity. Give them that position. Like, give somebody who gives a lot of charity, let them hold the ball. Like you know, somebody who lost like both their breasts and both their butt halves to cancer, and they have to go like let them hold the ball once.
You know, butt cancer, it's actually colon cancer. It's not the butt cheek. Butt cheeks actually don't. That's interesting. The butt cheek never gets cancer. Maybe we should
make the body out of what they make the butt cheek out of.
Anyway, a man who saw the UFO says, "There's a fucking UFO. Look at that shit, bro."
Yep.
So
no, people were pulled over on the side of the highway. It was a whole line of people pulled, which, I mean, I get it. People were ready. We just want a break. People just are so excited for a break. And guess what the break isn't? It's not another just script read through.
No.
Of people do like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Just imagine if this was a real UFO, though. And they're like, let's hear what the first sentence of man is. And they just hone in on this guy. It's a fucking UFO. Look at that shit, bro. I think they would leave. I think they would leave immediately.
You wouldn't feel comforted? Like, ah, good, there are rubes here as well. I would feel,
I don't know,
like, relieved to see that you already have fans.
I guess. Like, I'm not sure what the aliens are going to think. I don't know what they're going to think if they ever do come.
I already said it. If they show up in physical form, they're going to kill us.
Well, maybe we need the robot to save us from them, and then
that's what I'm saying to you.
But the robots will flip on us. We'll never agree with that. You're the guy who likes sci-fi, but I don't know how you don't know what the robots are going to do. But I think
because you get ahead of the curve, you be on the right team, Kessel. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're trying to say.
Get on the right team at the beginning. That's a stock market. But for yourself.
I just don't know if the aliens or the robots are going to want you on their team.
Why not? I'm a funny guy. Funny guy. I got all these great graphic tees. I can get you as much cold brew as you can stand.
Woo! Well, speaking of brew, that's
Garrison Brothers Bourbon. They answer my messages. That's huge.
So you are... You are 50% coffee and 50% bourbon right now.
And no, I'm 40% coffee. 20% bourbon, 20% weed, 20% American pride.
Well, speaking of American pride and brew, let's do Hero of the Week. A South Florida condo covered in beer cans received
beer cans.
receives multiple offers. When Kristen Kearney received a call about a listing condo in Lake Worth, Florida, she said it wasn't quite like any other calls. I'm not sure even where the hero is here. Maybe the interior decorator?
The hero is in the fact that you can, it's like when you're looking for a place and you wonder, is there a place for you?
Me, yes. Not my physical body, but like something that almost transcends who I am.
And you walk into a house for the first time, and maybe you've seen so many different bungalows, and you're like, man, this place sucks. You can't party in here. And you go into some other like condo, and you're like, oh, man, I can't even have my boys over here. We can't play beer pong in here.
Right.
And then you walk into this house, and you're like, I had a home.
Oh.
I didn't know.
Well.
I had a place to be where I could be me.
Oh, Rory, you have a home now. This is according to the listing agent. She says, they warned me that the home was wallpapered in beer cans. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder where in the world they found beer can wallpaper. Little do you know.
You fucking idiot.
It ain't wallpaper, my friend. It is actual Anheuser-Busch's flagship beer, Budweiser. And it has covered the walls. Kearney says it was a life's mission to
just Budweiser?
It's just Budweiser. No word if they're open or not. No, I'm assuming they're empty.
What do you like better? Would you rather have it be all BLs or would you rather not? Because in my mind, weirdly, I would prefer it to be a mixture of beers.
I think a mixture of beers
is classier.
You have to think about the color tone. So obviously this person liked the red and the white, which is why they went with Bud proper. Although red is not a very comforting color for a home. So
I like being on my toes.
You know, the best color for a home might be just a nice, humble, natural light blue.
Huh.
Keep it like the sky. Keep it like the sky. So this is according to Kearney. It was they say it was his life's mission to wallpaper his home in beer cans.
It's his life's mission.
The condo also contains sports memorabilia placed over the beer cans.
If it wasn't, I would walk out. You did not have at least one, can I guess what city is this?
This is in Florida.
Okay, yeah, what team? Do you think it's what sports
paraphernalia?
Is Dolphins? No, but does it say? Because in my mind, no one is that proud of the Dolphins. Ask Ed Larson. I would say that this is maybe, it could be a Miami Heat home because it's the same color.
Oh, interesting enough, Henry. I do have an answer for you, not because the article stated it, because I did some investigation, a.k.a. zoomed in on a picture. Buffalo Bills. It's Buffalo Bills. So this is a New York City transplant or a New York State transplant. They have a picture of Jim Kelly.
You might as well, you get on a train in New York and it's a separate stop to go down to Florida.
Well, this person loved the Buffalo Bills, probably why they had to drink so many Budweisers. Buffalo Bills team leaders, they had Jim Kelly. They have a
Flutie.
They don't have a picture of Flutie, but yes.
Do you remember Flutie?
I do remember. Yes, I remember Doug Flutie. Great Flutie Flakes. Flutie Flakes, not that good.
It just Wheaties?
Yeah, but with like less sugar.
What?
I don't know.
Why would you fuck with the fucking formula?
I don't remember.
Wheaties
it too
much. Is how Flutie got there in the first place, right? But a lot of carbs to eat before the game. Not carbs, but a lot of fiber. Because I tell you what, when I blow my colon out with my fucking Nature's Path cereal, which I wish I'd sponsor me, please. When I fucking shit out, it's very, very difficult for me to play a game, I can imagine.
Well, if you would take a dump in this home, the two bathrooms do not have beer cans lined in the walls. The brewski decor envelops the living room, dining room, kitchen, and two bedrooms. Now that is a lot of buds. This is according to Kearney. They say, if you look closely at the photos, you can see the lengths the owner went to. He even created a crown molding look with the cans. So this is something very powerful for this lonely, lonely man.
Why did the man, is it under floor closure? Like, why?
I think he just died. I don't know.
Okay.
So the condo is priced to sell. It's listed at $110,000 here in August, but it's been reduced to $100,000.
Because they probably might have been having a hard time selling it because of the beer can wallpaper they refused to change. But at the same time, I wouldn't want the house to go into the hands of someone who wouldn't want the Budweiser wallpaper.
They actually received multiple offers in its current and it's currently under contract. They have a backup offer as well. The new owner, she says, made an offer without even seeing the property. Whether or not they'll keep the beer cans is unknown.
They're just going to tear that place down and turn it into some kind of Flop house. It's going to turn into a fucking parking lot. That's what that means.
$100,000 for this house. I'm looking at it here. It's a really nice house, and I think it's a steal. So if you get a chance.
Yeah, go down and get it, especially if you're an actual beer fan, because I'm actually kind of upset. If she got that house without seeing it, wow.
Well, I think that they know that the beer cans were there.
I don't think they do.
Well, they must.
Because if they didn't see it, they didn't actually go look at it in person. They didn't actually want to be a part of that experience. They're just going to buy this house unseen.
They did not mention if the previous owner drank all of those beers. I hope that they did.
They better have.
But
it's like when you used to go into the college dorm and you see all the fucking handles, the empty handles.
You
at
better
the top
not
of the,
dump those out in the sink. And,
yeah, what are you, some kind of fucking liar?
That would be a sociopath.
That would be very
that
weird.
Would be a sociopath.
Just to like fit in.
Yeah.
You know who that probably, you know who that reminds me of? That's like a Jeff Bezos move, but in college.
Yeah. I'm cool. I'm hip. A lot of your entertainers, by the way, that you love. Aren't really drinking whiskey. We learned that about Ron White. Thank God he's not, because
don't
he
bust
would
that's the myth.
That's the myth?
That's the myth. You can't know. Actually, I don't even think we should say that.
Okay. All right. All right. So there it was. Hero of the week is the man who decorated his house with beer cans.
The man was, who's now died of heart disease.
I can't
imagine. I'm
going
to assume.
Yes, I think that's fine to assume. But let's do some letters from people who are very much alive.
It's a listener email, listener letters. It's a emails. It's not letters because I don't physically have them in my hands.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you about an experience I had when I was in my late teens. I live with my younger brother and sister, who were also in their teens at the time, 3 and 6 years younger than me. There was also a family with 4 boys our age that lived across the street. We had lived in a small town on the East Coast in Australia.
Hold on a second. So he was in his teens and his younger siblings were also in their teens?
Late teens.
So that would be 19,
so 6 years. So I'd say 19, 13,
and 10.
16. No, it's 3 years, 6 years and 3 years. So 19, 6, you derailed this.
No, it's.
You've derailed this.
No, because
we're
he
now
said,
in this. You're just trying to disprove this from the very top.
No, because
it is
if
19
he was 19,
years old, if they
his,
were 19.
And then, but his other brother was 6 years younger.
13 and 3 years younger.
10.
So, no, 3 years than them. I feel like no. I am dealing with congressman from Mississippi.
Okay.
There was also a family. They're from Australia.
Okay. Different place.
Our houses backed into the bushland with the creek we often play. You know how many times I could back my house into the bushland?
Sure.
One night, a little after sunset in summer, I was sitting on my driveway with my boyfriend at the time, while my siblings, the boys from across the street, and one of their friends were all down at the creek playing with some homemade fireworks. Sweet.
Love it.
The boyfriend and I heard a loud bang. Then we heard a large flash of, we saw a huge flash of green in the sky towards the creek. We didn't think much of this, knowing what the others were doing, until we heard the rest come running down from the bush tracks. We called out, "Aye, what happened?" hoping someone hadn't blown a hand off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they all shouted back with a terrified, "Run!" They all shot by us, running up the road to where the four boys lived. My boyfriend and I followed to make sure everyone was okay. They were all hysterical, saying that they saw a green flash and heard someone crash onto the other side of the creek, and then they were chased by something through the bush. They were hysterical for a few hours before everyone calmed down, and we all returned to sitting on the front driveway discussing what they had seen. It was then that the alarm from their car parked about 100 meters away started going off. They turned it off from a distance with the remote, and it continued to sit. Then it all went off again and again and again, but no one was close enough to go close to the car to go check out the cause.
Right.
My boyfriend and I, being the oldest, walked over to the car to investigate, the others all freaking out, watching us intently. When we got close, we thought was a part of a hedge in a nearby yard, stood up. The figure that stood before us was a large, gangly, almost dog-like creature, but standing on its back legs like a human.
Huh.
It was at least 2 feet taller than my boyfriend, who was 6'2". Nice.
Wow.
We froze, terrified. And everyone else kept silent, so I assumed that they were in shock. The creature took a step forward, and the car alarm sounded for a third time. This time it seemed to startle the creature, which ran off to the road, bounding along on all fours, much like a dog. As it did, all of the car alarms on the road went off as it ran by.
Huh.
So did the street lights. Very interesting.
Very cool. Thank you for that tale from Down Under.
Down Under. God, I want to go back.
Absolutely. Next time we'll spend more time in Melbourne.
Man, Melbourne was one of the funnest spots.
The Cherry Bar. Cherry Tavern, Cherry Bar.
Cherry Bar was one of the funnest nights of our whole stay.
It's on AC/DC way.
Man, that was just one of the funnest. I just am so
Although
upset.
A listener did look at my winky in the bathroom, and that is inappropriate.
You had it out.
I had to go to the bathroom.
Hey, man. I feel like in the end, you're there.
Then I listen to my Eminem, and then I really relate to M.
Firstly, the home I grew up in had very strange things happen inside of it. Example, when I was about 10 years old, I opened a cabinet and all of the dishes just flew out as if somebody was throwing them at me and shattered midair and hit the ground around me in a circle. My mother didn't believe me and I got blamed for breaking all the dishes.
Interesting.
When I was 12 years old, my mother took me to hear a man speak.
What?
His name was Ben Alexander, a former medium. He quit or was fired.
I don't know.
Who wrote a book called Out from Darkness. He played clips of some of his former seances. That sounds, honestly, it sounds very boring. My mother did this thing because she was a born-again Christian trying to convince me that our house was not haunted.
Wait, what?
I guess she was trying to say it was demons.
So she brought him to a seance?
This is bad.
Okay.
This is a bad, it's not bad, it's just, I don't know if it's going to get what you want.
You might
want to
check the level of the cabinet.
Other strange things happen, but let's fast forward. I'm now 32 years old and a single mother of an 8-year-old son. When I was pregnante, I said it that way, I moved back into my parents' house. When my son started talking around 1 year of age, every day he would tell me about his ghost friend. At first, I took this as him having kind of an imaginary friend. However, strange things would happen. Just to name a few, things moving out of place, light bulbs exploding, and I've always had extremely vivid dreams. Dreams to the point where I've had a hard time distinguishing what was a dream or what was reality. Dope. I've had dreams that come true on more than one occasion. For example, I was off work on the weekend, and the night before I went into work, I dreamt I was standing in the middle of where I work, and I kept hearing whispers about a $10 bill. The next morning, I walked into my job, and the first thing my coworker tells me, if you find my apron, I had a $10 bill in the pocket.
Whoa!
That's a lot. Now, returning to my gun's ghost friend, he would talk to me about him every day. I asked him if he was a nice ghost, to which my son replied, yes. And when my son was about 5 years old, I was putting him to bed, and my son told me, Mom, after you leave at night, the old man comes and pats me on the head until I fall asleep.
I hope it's a friendly old man, because that could be really nice, but...
Watch the windows. As my son got older, he stopped talking about his ghost friend, thank God. The other day, as I was having one of my vivid dreams where I'm totally aware of everything that is happening, knowing something, including knowing it is a dream, I met my son's ghost friend, an old man that looked to be in his 70s, was dressed in 1950s apparel. He's wearing slacks, suspenders, an undershirt, and a Hamburg-style hat.
Oh, classy guy.
He appeared in my kitchen and told me, hey, I just wanted to check in on Eli. My son was sitting at the breakfast table, and the old man walked towards him. My son was to the old man's left, and my son's favorite toy, a Super Mario plushie. I hope he's older now. Was to the old man's right. The old man looked at my son in a way that he looked like he missed him. Terribly. And then the old man touched the top of Mario's head and then, poof, disappeared. I woke up feeling that I actually met him, and now I know that who he is and that he genuinely looked after my son. It seemed like this ghost wanted to help me since I'm a single parent. That's actually very nice, but remember, they appear in many forms. Have we learned anything from Poltergeist?
Be very careful. Okay, very nice. Old man, keeping the kid asleep.
A few years ago, I was working with a guy developing his comic into a TV show pitch. Nice.
Oh, and I guarantee you, you know what? I'm not going to be negative. It went great.
I'll tell you what, especially in COVID, these TV pitches are going great.
Woo.
Going great.
Yes.
The show had a lot of military elements, and he had been working on it for years and had accumulated a lot of contacts in that world. Some of the stories he was privy to were just jaw-dropping, and we were trying to work them into a show. Then came December 2017 when that Navy video was released. Mm. I immediately emailed this guy and said, your military contacts know anything about this stuff? He was a part of a private online group where current and ex-military guys talk to each other. He said the chatter was insane. He copied and pasted the exact transcripts, and I'll be happy to email them to you separately. But this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Was very classified. The gist was they all knew that this shit was going on, had since the 90s, and had some experience, and some of them had experienced it firsthand. We're seeing this a lot. A lot of people in the military have been seeing things in the sky for forever.
Sure.
But it, honestly, it was so well known that it actually changed how they carried out certain operations. Since UFOs only buzz the nuke sites at first, and the military always moved the missiles at night under the cover of darkness, they had to start moving them during the day, which is far less secure, just to avoid the weird things at night.
Interesting.
Very weird. A lot of these powering down entire sections, they would just be a blob on the radar. By the time they drove out to see if they could get a direct visual, they would be gone. Except for this one time when they actually fucking fired at the thing. At the time, I didn't know what to believe. I know a lot of ex-military guys personally, and they seem to feel like they'd be the type of guys that kind of yank your chain, having fun with you. Sure.
Right, right.
So I took away the grain of salt. But over time, the Navy has confirmed so much of this shit that I start to believe these stories.
Well, Henry, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most powerful department in the U.S. government?
Catering.
The Department of Energy, believe it or not.
What do you mean?
They're in charge of all the nukes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So the Department of Energy, if you are out there in the UFO world, look into the Department of Energy. That is where they have a lot of top secret stuff.
Also,
there is
some talk about this enigmatic next generation fighter jet that the U.S. government is working on currently. That is seems to be work on some kind of prototype. They were saying, is this UFO retrofitted technology that they are finally revealing?
I got into a military tech YouTube hole a couple of weeks ago, and damn, dude, it is. It's gonna be crazy. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
gonna
man.
Be crazy.
It's gonna be crazy.
And now they're doing the dual mans where it could be man, doesn't have to be man, so you can do anyway. We're gonna find out. We find ways to kill people. We know what to do.
I just, you know, robots. It'll be robots versus robots one day. We'll see how it is.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
And then the next, it will be stick versus stone.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. Again, Marcus is going through a bit of a family emergency.
So please send him love. We don't know. You know, I hate the term in these uncertain times, because guess what? They've always been uncertain.
Yes, they have been.
And so now they just shows you more and more often. Just prepare a little bit more. Say I love you to your family, maybe a little
God.
Bit more.
Oh my
I'm
God!
Just saying. Check in with people you haven't seen in a long time.
Sure.
Like, this is a time, because it's all up in the air. We got what's been called a bit of a to-do with the election.
We have a lot of stuff going on here in 2020. And, of course, for all the election coverage, you can listen to Able Against Top Ad. We got a lot of moving parts going on right now.
There's a lot
regarding the SCOTUS.
Parts. Yeah.
Regarding SCOTUS.
Man, I tell you what, if you got yourself a bad case of a SCOTUS, go get yourself some Lotrimin.
Absolutely. Have a good time with it. Thank you so much, David Letterman over here.
I don't know. Get yourself some Lotrimin.
Remember that when David Letterman would say words funny like, I miss the old Letterman. Anyway, again, we have to wrap this up, okay?
Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to myself.
We've been together for a long time.
Yep.
Isn't that weird?
So every day, live knowing that anything can happen to you, and it will.
Good.
Love that for some reason.
You have to.
I mean, just know for a fact that, but then every day you wake up is a day to reinvent yourself.
Yep.
Every day is a chance to redo.
Well, they say every 3 months you truly are a whole new person.
No, every 7 years.
Whatever.
With the particles every 3 months, that would be fucking frightening.
Okay.
That would show the particles would just be flying off of us. You'd see your skin. You'd be melting
every
and be
seven
rebuilding.
Days. Every 7 days you're a
it's
brand new
It's not the
person.
Ring.
Okay.
This is not Ringu. That's okay. The name of the girl, I think, in it. I don't remember.
Ringu was better than the ring, but I'm not going to say that out loud.
I'm with you. The American ring is better than the Japanese ring.
No, I meant the other way. I meant the other one.
Oh. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this a lot. We have a lot. 31 for 31 is coming up. We're going to talk
Can't
about
wait for Halloween season.
And laugh knowing that when I wake up with that fucking competitive edge, and I know that I have a leg up on the competition that day, when
right.
I know I've done the homework, and I've done the lead work, and I've meditated my 10 minutes, and I stretched, and I know for a fucking fact that I laugh with the assurance of a man who is a born spiritual and psychological soldier deep inside this war-torn psyche that is 2020 America.
You actually have to stop watching The Vow. because now you're starting to sound like Keith
no,
Raniere.
No, absolutely not.
That
I'm not
show
gonna...
by, we didn't even get it. We should talk about that next week.
Yeah, because the vow, we were screaming at it last night. There is not a single hero on the vow. If you, you believe the, you anything that Mark dude says.
Mark is the real cult leader.
I think that Ali Mack also has a lot on at stake as well. These fucking people. One of these people acting like they're a hero. Meanwhile, they all got...
Anyway, we'll have a lot to say on the vow next week. I believe the final episode should be coming out by then, or we'll be damn near the end of it anyway.
It's all the fucking same.
It is nice to see Keith Raniere, just how tiny he is. And then remember when the Dalai Lama went to talk to him, and the Dalai Lama was like, he's innocent. Don't
I
trust
can't
any of these people.
I can't believe that Dalai Lama can... Well, I know the Dalai Lama can be purchased.
I do love that we just started the next episode at the end of this episode, because I could do another hour on that. But anyway, we will do that next week. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves!
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Go out there. If you see a drawbridge in your personal life, jump it in the metaphorical sense.
Yes, again, spiritual, psychological.
Yes.
Not physical.
Unless you have a Dodge Omni.
No, especially not with a Dom Nanji. You need something with some, you need some four-wheel drive for that.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.